We're going to be using the TVs up here for, we used to put our outline in the handout sheet. There'll be somewhat of an outline. You'll be seeing that up there as we go along. To use these in different ways, and we're just exploring right now. So before we read Proverbs 3, 21, 24, let's pray. Father, we need your help once again. We ask for your fresh anointing. We ask for your fresh touch. Father, for the soul that is longing to hear from you, we pray you'll touch that soul. For the one that might be on backlight or might have seen better days spiritually, we pray your touch upon that one. We pray, Father, for that soul that maybe has never made that commitment to you. They prayed a little prayer, but they've never surrendered themselves to you and experienced a born-again experience. We pray you'll speak to that soul. And Father, for that soul that is following you and just yearning for more of Jesus, we pray for a special touch upon them as well. Anoint your unworthy servant. Fill with your spirit for the glory of God and the benefit of your people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21, 22, 23, and 24. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Sweet sleep, something a lot of people don't have. A lot of people do not have peace. The scripture says there is no peace to the wicked. The wicked are like the sea, the waves, they churn up everything. And there's no peace for them. But there are times children of God don't have peace either. Sometimes we don't have peace because of situations. We want to share with you six different reasons why we don't. People pay doctors a lot of money to give them sleeping pills or pills to make them they don't worry or anxious and so on like that. They prescribe them to them. But the word sweet carries the idea of being comfortable. A lot of people are tossed and turned with the happenings of the world that's going on. We live in a tumultuous world today. When people think we get rid of the police and have counselors, that person that comes in the breaks into your house to kill you, instead of having a policeman come, bring a counselor there to counsel them so they won't kill you. We live in a crazy world, and some people do not have much peace about it. So we want to share with you this morning, why are some things that we don't have peace other than what we just mentioned there? Number one, there's contention. The writer of Proverbs says, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so a contentious man kindle strife. Kindling strife. You know, there are people that are always argumentative. Do you ever run into those people that always want to argue with you? I know you have. I have. They're disagreeable. They disagree with you all the time. Now, husbands and wives don't look at each other. Some people can't be satisfied with the status quo. They have to always be difficult. They cannot let things go. So they're constantly disagreeing and stirring things up. They always have to be right. The enemy is continually after us, and he contends with our experience and salvation to put doubt about it. And because of contention, we lose our peace. We don't have that peacefulness. Now the Bible says, depart from a man, a foolish man, when you perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. I've walked away from two people in the last 35 years when I perceived not the lips of knowledge. They ask me, what about this or something? And I tell them, and then they disqualify it right away. And then rather than allowing me to try and tell them, explain a little bit, they overtalk you. Do you ever people overtalk you? That is frustrating. And it's infuriating, too. When you're trying to talk to someone, they overtalk you. They don't want to listen to you. I've had that, and I've walked away. Two people, I say, okay, you know, I'm just going to walk away. You're not going to listen? You're going to overtalk me? I'm not going to waste my time here with you. And I walk away from them. One person disagreed with me years ago, and they had at least the decency to be quiet when I tried to tell them something. But there are those that overtalk, and they accuse you, and the enemy comes and pesters you, you know, always trying to take away our peace. Because you see, there's a peace that comes from knowing that we're saved. There's a peace from knowing that God is still on the throne. He's in control. In this world that we live in, some people don't have peace because they listen. Well, if you listen to the news and you lose your peace, turn the TV off or the radio and stop listening to the news. Because our God is still on the throne. And prayer changes things. So if you lose your peace over that, turn it off. But there's contentions out there that cause people to lose their peace. They don't have peace anymore. And it causes them not to sleep sometimes. You think about things you shouldn't think about. And so there's contention that causes us that we lose our peace. We don't have the peace that we should. Now, the second thing is guilt. Guilt. The psalmist says, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. You know, whether it's real or false guilt, it takes away our peace. Now, a false guilt is when we've confessed our sin and the enemy comes along and he tries to force it on us again. You notice what he said? He said, my sin is ever before me. You know, one of the hardest people we have to forgive is ourselves. We do something, we say something, and we have trouble forgiving ourselves. I think that's what David was meaning there. He knew he had done wrong. Psalm 51, those who know their Bible know that that is the psalm concerning David's sin with Bathsheba. He committed adultery with her and then committed murder. And I think David thought about that a lot. Sometimes we do things and we ask for forgiveness, but we have not forgiven ourselves and our mind brings it back to us and we think about it. And the devil will cause a false guilt by bringing it upon us when we've already asked for forgiveness. If we've asked for forgiveness and it's under the blood, God puts a no fishing sign over the sea of forgetfulness. And that means the devil can't go fishing there. But he goes fishing anyhow in our minds and tries to bring it up to us to cause us to feel guilty about it. You see, he doesn't want us to have peace. He wants us to worry and fret because, you see, when we don't have peace, we don't have the right relationship we should with God. We can't pray like we should. We can't be the witnesses like we should if we don't have peace. I appreciate what Brian said about being a witness, you know, and we all should try and be witnesses. I tell you, one way we be witnesses is those T-shirts that you get at times. Young people get T-shirts. I was wearing a T-shirt the other day, and it said, Jesus took naps, and I try to be like him. And you'd be surprised. I mean, I was at a deli counter, and it was there, and the person at my deli counter says, "Back up." I backed up and said, "I want to read your shirt." You know, when you have a t-shirt that says something about, you know, the church and so on like that, be ready. But you see, if we don't have peace, it's hard to be the witness that we should be. And the devil will try and take that peace from us. If it's real guilt, then get confessing. And ask for forgiveness and ask God to help you that you won't remember it anymore. Not to the point that you don't remember whatsoever, but it's not held against you. The false peace the enemy tries to take away. The third thing is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. The psalmist says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." When we don't forgive someone, we keep the memory of it alive. You know, there are people that they just hold on to the wrong that someone did to them. They don't forgive them. Now, forgiveness, we maybe preach a message on forgiveness sometime. Forgiveness isn't necessarily not remembering. But forgiveness is that you release it, that if that person is in contact with you, you can show love to them. That's why Jesus said, if your enemy thirst, give him something to drink. If he hunger, give him something to eat. You may not feel like hugging him, but forgiveness is extended. I was amazed at Mrs. Kirk when she publicly said, "I forgive the man that assassinated her husband." That didn't mean she wanted to go up and hug the guy. It meant she was releasing herself from that. But you see, if we don't forgive, Jesus said, if you don't forgive other people, I will not, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. And if we don't have forgiveness, there's no peace. We're like the wicked with the waves tossed to and fro, churning up things all the time. We need to close the chapter on some things. Sometimes we leave the chapter open rather than closing the chapter on what's been said or done to us. We can't undo it, maybe. Someone may have stole money from you. Maybe they cheated you out of money. You may remember it, but you forgive them. I remember many years ago, someone stole some money from me. I remember it. I remember his name. I remember how much it was. But if I were to meet him along the way, I would greet him because I've forgiven him. I don't expect ever to get paid back, but that's all right. I can't take that money to heaven, and neither can he. So if we're going to have peace, we got to forgive other people. Got to have a spirit of forgiveness to forgive any wrong or slight that is done toward us or against us. Whether it be husbands or wives, siblings, mother or father, whether it be someone you don't even know. Forgiveness. And it's for our benefit so that we can have peace, that we don't have to go around with that cloud over our head. And on the same note, number four, bitterness and anger. Bitterness and anger. The psalmist says, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through the roaring all the day long." When we hold bitterness and anger toward people, something happens within us. One man wrote, he said, "My food is tasteless when I hold bitterness toward someone else." I don't taste the food. He said, I don't get the sleep I should because that person I'm holding bitterness against, I'm wrestling with them all night. You go over the matter over and over and over again in your mind, the same scenario, and you don't have any peace because the bitterness and anger that is there. See, bitterness comes from unforgiveness. We don't forgive people. See, if we've been wounded in the past by another and we didn't deal with it properly, we didn't acquire God's grace for full surrender, full healing of that, then that bitter root is going to pop up. And that bitterness is going to take away our peace. And we'll be like the wicked. There is no peace, says my Lord, for the wicked. See, a bitter root is not known immediately or prominently until a situation arises. And then it pops up. They might do something or say something and cross you, and all of a sudden that bitter root springs up. And there it is again, fresh. Whether we realize it being there or not, it takes away the peace in our life. We don't have the peace we should. We have trouble sleeping, trouble enjoying our food, trouble enjoying the down times, because we're still holding that against that person. That person is controlling us because we're not letting go of that bitterness and that anger that we have toward them. One thing, number five, that some people don't think of that takes away peace is the lack of divine fellowship. The lack of divine fellowship. John says this, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light and having fellowship with God. Oh, it's so nice. We sing that song. I come to the garden alone. I hear his voice. His voice speaks to me. But you see, a lot of times we don't have that divine fellowship because we're not where we should be spiritually. And that divine fellowship, we feel like we're alone, and we are in a sense. But that divine fellowship, he said, he walks with me and talks with me and tells me, you're my own. A fellow one time sang a song. He sang that song, he hideth my soul, and he covers me with his hand. And as he sang it, he put his hands together. And while he's singing it, he lifted his hand like God saying, are you still there? Are you still there? Sometimes we don't have that fellowship, divine fellowship. There's a distance from God. The Bible says, don't run ahead of him and don't lag behind him, but walk with him. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. Divine fellowship. Sometimes we're too busy. We don't maintain our closeness with God in our devotions, our prayer, our worship. Our devotions become mundane and mechanical. When we read the scripture we're reading, but our mind is elsewhere, we're thinking about something else that we want to do. Our prayer becomes routine and repetitive. Our worship becomes insincere and formal. We go through the motions, but we're not really worshiping. All these cause an emptiness within, and our peace is replaced by otherworldliness. We don't have that peace. The last one that I want to share with you this morning, number six, is lack of service. Jeremiah says this, thy words were found that I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Worldliness replaces our service for God. Rather than serving God, we serve the world. We serve the worldliness. The spirit within us longs for us to serve God in some way, to use our gifts, our talents for God. We are saved to serve. The last thing that we want to share with you here is we are saved to serve, not to just drift along. That's what we're saved for. Now, God loved us. He doesn't want any of us going the wrong direction, but he saves us so we can serve him. And if we don't have the service we should, we don't have the peace because there's something missing. There's a hollow spot in our soul because we're not serving God like he wants us to. The spirit within causes unrest, and that takes away our peace. So God wants us to have peace. He gives us peace. And we find peace. But if any of these things are in there, then we don't have the peace that God wants us to have. So I want us to think a little bit this morning. Annie, if you don't have peace, did we touch a nerve? Did God touch a nerve this morning for you? If you don't have the peace that you would like to have, did God touch a nerve this morning? I want us to bow our heads. And if you say,